As a father, loving my wife, I give life's most precious gift to my children. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. As a father loving my wife, I give life's most precious gift to our children. And the word our is very important there. As a father loving my wife, I give life's most precious gift to our children. Why is it important for a mother and father to show love to one another? Why is it very important that, it's true, they can be in love, but to show love is a very vital thing in a family. Many families, the parents love each other. They have a relationship together. They stay together. They're happy with one another. They tolerate one another. They get along okay. But they don't show their love. They don't kiss each other in front of their children. You don't have to have a mad, passionate kiss, just a kissing that is sincere. A good, solid, wonderful hug and kiss. And they don't snuggle with each other, the man and wife, in front of their children. They don't take their wife's hand, you know, and say, come, dear, I want to show you something. They say, hey, sweetheart, come over here, you know. But to go over and take her hand and say, come here, I want to show you something. That special touching is so very, very important. It's true that the husband and wife may love each other. The family may be harmonious in many ways. But there is a little topping on the cake. And that topping is the showing of love. What happens when a man and a woman are not afraid to show their love in front of their children? Then the children become, they have the ability to share the love too. The children naturally share the love. The children naturally are uninhibited and naturally want to hug and kiss and naturally want to be cared about in a careful way. But when the husband and wife do it publicly, so to speak, the children say, hey, that's a normal, okay, all right thing. It's normal, okay, and all right to kiss someone you love in public. It's normal and okay and all right to hold someone you love in public. But where does that come from when a person doesn't do that? Now, my son has never been a demonstrative boy. He has never really cared too much about showing outwardly his love, because our family had a bit of a conflict going on a great deal of the time with problems that were difficult to handle. And the problems were all my fault, because I created them, because they were an expression of my own attitude. And my problems, and the problems were my son's, because he had them as his reflection, and they were of my wife as she had them of her reflection. None of us were free of the responsibility for the problem. However, the love was there underlying it all, deep and sincere and sound. Yet if it had been more outwardly demonstrated, it would have been easier for my son, when he got married, to show that love to his wife. Well, now, his first wife was a very wonderful but an undemonstrative person, and so he continued with his inability to share that love. And then, after he separated and went his way for maybe 10 years, wasn't it, something like that, then about 15 years, then he fell in love with somebody on the internet, and they were sharing loving thoughts with each other. And then in each other's presence, they were very demonstrative, I'm sure, because later, when we saw them and celebrated their wedding with them and so forth, they were very demonstrative. They were very sharing, very caring with each other. And I thought to myself, hey, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. And when I asked my son, after he was married for about 4 years, I said, well, how is married life treating you, Mark? He said, you know, Dad, I would have never believed it could have gotten better every day. He said, it is just wonderful. It is just wonderful. Now, what was so wonderful about his married life? What was so wonderful about his second married life that wasn't wonderful about his first married life? Well, quite likely, it was a simple, non-demonstrative first marriage. The second marriage was demonstrative. The second marriage, they weren't afraid to show their love. Now, that love was there for the first marriage was probably quite true. But if you don't show it, it dies. If you don't demonstrate it somehow in your life, it fades away and loses importance, and pretty soon the reason for being together loses importance. It's not that either is right or wrong. It's just that we don't demonstrate to each other how we feel about each other. We make this statement here, as a father loving my wife, I give life's most precious gift to my children, to our children. Think about that. The most precious gift we can give to our children is the ability to be demonstrative, the ability to share, the ability to show your love and not think anything is wrong about it. Now, did Mark think anything was wrong about it? Now, that I don't know. But I would say probably yes, because he didn't do it. If he had done it, he would have certainly not felt there was something wrong about it. Because the things we do, we don't think we're doing it because there's something wrong about it. We think we're doing it because it's such a delight, it's charming, it's wonderful. So, think about that for yourself. In your own relationship, in your own parents, in your mothers and fathers, what sort of relationship did they have? Were they demonstrative? If they were not demonstrative, then you've not been a demonstrative person either. If they're demonstrative, if they're a sharing, loving couple, and not overly so, but just, you know, sincerely so, caring about each other, then the children are like that too. Now, all children don't fall into the trap of being what their parents were, or being, let's say, the worst of their parents. And the worst of their parents might be the inability to be demonstrative. Some kids are just so demonstrative, they don't care whether their parents are or not. You know, one of the statements that comes through in much of the pathetic literature of our time says this fact: if I had only told my father that I loved him one more time, or if I only told him at all that I loved him, if I had only grabbed my father around the neck and hugged him and kissed him and said, Dad, I think you're the greatest. If I had only, and you see, when you're a non-demonstrative person, you say, if I had only. If you're an outgoing demonstrative person, you go and do it. You go and do it. And you know, one of the kids in the family may be very demonstrative and is always snuggling and hugging mom and dad and the rest of the kids and just being a nice person, being an outgoing person, being a sincere person. And the rest of the kids may not be that way, and they're looking on and they're saying, God, I wish I could be a little more outgoing. I wish I could be so free as to go over and hug dad. But what would he think if I did that? Because I never did that. Would he think I'm trying to get something? I'm trying to be something? Let him think it. Let him think it. Go and hug the bejabbers out of him and tell him how much you love him. Go and hug your mom. And even though you hug your mom more often than your dad, certainly, but hug your mom and say, Mom, I've got no time. Because the end of life is here. You're going to die in a couple hundred years, and I will not have told you how much I loved you, and I cannot begin to tell you in all the years you got left how much I love you and let you know how much I care. I really do. You know, you're fantastic. You're glorious. You're wonderful. Hey, you do a lot of dumb stuff, don't we all? But the thing is, I love you just the way you are. You're my mom. You're my dad. No matter what your problems may be or may have been, I love you. And the father said, Son, you're always my son. No matter what circumstance you go through, if I may not understand it, or if you get in trouble with the law, or whatever your problems may be, you're always my son, and I stand by you. And I'm there with you to be with you for whatever you need me for. No matter what it is, I'm there. So don't ever forget that. When things look tough and when I seem to be judging, I'm not really judging you, I'm judging myself. I'm thinking, where did I go wrong in not sharing enough love to let you know that you don't have to do anything to get my love. You've always got it. You see, a father who is loving with his wife, who cares about his wife, who shares with his wife, he gives the most precious gift to his children. And that gift is the ability to share love, the ability to be friendly and to be gentle and to be caring. Now, us five kids, we always loved Mom. We were hugging Mom. We were doing whatever, you know. And Mom would chase us and spank us when we had to have it, things like that. But we still loved her. We had never had a doubt that she loved us, because we knew that she went to great ends to make us behave so that we would be lovable for the world. But it was just part of life, part of the fun. And it was all great. And Dad, he was sort of like on the edge of the picture. We never got over to his side of the picture very often, because he was just sort of outside yet inside. And he loved us, I know, because he stayed. And he cared about us, I know, because he worked hard and brought home money to give us lots of wonderful experiences that we didn't appreciate. But that was a great thing. When I say experiences we didn't appreciate, we took for granted. That's not appreciating. We took for granted that we always had food on the table when our neighbors didn't during Depression times. And we always had clothes on our back when our neighbors didn't. And we never thought a thing about it. When we come home from school, Mother would say, take off your good clothes, and then we'll just put on your play clothes, which meant our shorts, you know. And we probably would have gone naked if it had been convenient to do so. But barefoot, you know, pair of shorts, and out playing. And that way, we wouldn't wear our clothes out. And our clothes lasted for a full season. Whereas otherwise, you know, you slide down hills and the bottom of your pants go out and stuff like that. But this is all part of the game of growing up. But we were never made to feel bad. Even when the times that I would take my clothes and take them to the kids at the orphanage and give them away and come home almost naked underneath my overcoat. Mother realized my shorts were missing and my socks were missing, my pants and shirts were missing. She never said anything about it, because she had a way of knowing everything. Your mothers do. They have a way of knowing everything you're doing, no matter what it is. They got eyes behind their head and the side of their head, and they also have radar. And I don't know, what would you say? They have the Superman vision, you know, see through walls and see everything. And Mother was one like that. She knew what we did. But it was great. It was great. And when she knew it was good, she never said a word. When she knew it was bad, she says, are you proud of that? Are you proud of that? She says, I'm always proud of you no matter what you do, but are you proud of that? You know, and we felt just terrible, you know. We never wanted to do that thing again that we weren't proud of. But you see, that's an honor, to grow up in a family where the parents have the wisdom to give you a spanking without hitting you once, you know. Although we did get the razor strap occasionally, and we did get other hand spanking and stuff like that. But like Mother always said, it hurts me more to spank you than it does you, because my hand stings and my heart stings, and I don't want to do that. So she spent more time lovingly talking to us. Now, many parents are like that. I would say the majority of parents are like that, because we live in a pretty wonderful world, where the people in this world are very loving, very, very gentle, very caring. And during the children of the 50s, 60s with the love-ins and so forth, and their times together at concerts and what have you, and doing silly things, well, all they're doing is just bursting the dam that their parents had known during the war of deprivation, and reaching out to be more generous, more giving, more loving, and not knowing perhaps the best wisdom in doing it. But hey, they're our parents today. They're the parents of our young people, not our young people, they're the parents of our people who are now of age today. And of course, of age, my son is 50, you know? So, They're the parents of, that means me. I didn't happen to be in that particular crowd, but then again, that was the time that I was a young man growing up too. Life is wonderful. Life is really fantastic. life is really glorious. And when we remember that as a father loving my wife, I give the most precious gift to our children. And I don't want to say my children, our children. Because as I often say to my wife, that's our son. And she says, well, how's my son doing? I said, our son? And she knows that, and she believes that, and she follows that. But the tendency is to say, that's my child, you know. And when you're introducing your child to someone, you say, that's my child. And you say, that's our child. And when you say, it's our child, it takes a little remembrance to do that. When you say, it's our child, you mean, that's the child of our marriage, of our family, of our raising, and our generous beingness. Father and mother, both. Very wonderful. Well, I've been very blessed with my growing up, and I know you have been blessed in your way, too. And so I do say, as a father loving my wife, I give the most precious gift to our children. So you have a wonderful day now, and think on these things, because it makes the difference between a happy life, a fulfilled life, a rewarding life, and the life that you live, which is the same thing. I love you, I love you, I love you.